But I'd like to speak about the ministry of transformation. And God gave me a thought just prior to coming here about the word transform, as we well know, is in the family of meaning change. Transformation is a metamorphosis of a Christian during the life prior to eternal life. And I looked up the word metamorphosis also, is it means change of the form or the nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. So tonight, I would like to speak about, as I mentioned, about the utility company I used to work for, what was called at the time West Penn Power Company. It's changed its name to Allegheny Power Company. I used to do many, many things there, maintenance, what have you. I used to repair all types of equipment. I started out as a janitor working the evening shift, but I told God I wanted to be in Bible class. And at that time, we had 90 services just about Monday through Friday. And I asked God to change things for me so I could be in church, and also especially Bible class. And God, not long after that, God changed things for me to the point of, they made me a shop mechanic. And I was working the day shift. But I ended up working on much equipment and hardware that the linemen use out in the field. Repairing lights, switches, what have you. Switches almost as big as your car. We had to tear them down completely, every little screw, every little bolt, and redo them, what have you. We used to have what was called transformers. And these transformers, we would have to repair them or renew them. Some of them would come in, and of course, a lot of them were shot up. People would shoot out street lights and shoot out transformers. But as we see tonight, the word transform means to change. The word transform means to change, to make a thorough and dramatic change in the form and appearance of our character. Transformer, what is meant, or what was its main work as I worked there, a basic distribution transformer, is a transformer that provides electrical energy, voltage, or currents from the level to another. It would transform, change the final voltage. The final voltage transformation into the electric power distribution system. It would step up or step down or increase or decrease the amount of voltage to a customer. Could be a factory, could be a house, could be a store. Transformer, they have insulation. They have in them transformers come in different sizes. There were factory transformers. Very large, some very small, we see on the telephone poles. Inside they have separate cores, and these cores separated from each other with high voltage winding copper coils all throughout them. The transformer inside the internal compartments were insulated by what was called PC. And that was a polychlorinated bifenthrin group of chemicals that was man-made. They would protect the transformer from different types of temperatures, cold and hot. Tonight, speaking about being transformed, there's there's just a tremendous amount of scripture. Matter of fact, this entire Bible is nothing but a manual for our transformation. Becoming a Christian, some transformation should come about. A change should come about. I didn't know where to start, but I was thinking about the transfiguration in Matthew's the 7th chapter, verses 1 and 2. It speaks about Jesus in 6 days took Peter, James, and John up into a mountain. Very isolated. And it says he was transfigured. It means he changed, his appearance changed. It says his face shined like the sun, S-U-N, and even his raiment became white as the light. That was a change. And so as we see that in 2 Corinthians, I wanted to start with, it says in chapter 3, verse 12 through 18, I just want to speak about the bell, the globe, and Moses went up to the mountain and came back and his face was shining. It says Moses was put a veil over his face. One reason the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. It was as though the law was fading in the spirit of the Lord also. The Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Many have been blinded. Many still have their hearts are covered by a veil. Many individuals that call themselves Christians, we wonder why they say they're Christians and their life hasn't changed. It's because their heart hasn't truly been uncovered to see the truth of God. They point at Jesus and say, I know it's the truth, but their heart has not made that commitment to transform. But we all have a ministry. We have a ministry of constant transformation. It never ends. This is something we will do all until eternal life. A Christian life, we will constantly be transforming till Jesus comes. We should be. It says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, who are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Which means, but as a Christian, we have no veil over our face, but we can be like mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. I don't know what your goal is, but I want to become more and more like Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus Christ. It says that being like Him, the glory that the Spirit imparts to the believer is great. Both in quality and longevity than that which Moses experienced. The glory gradually transforms the believer into Christ-like. And it is a progressive experience. It's a progressive experience. Romans 8, 29, for whom he, God in other words, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. God knew who would, and God knew who should become like his son. Lord, have mercy. God chose me. God chose me. Before the foundations of the world, before I came out of my mother's womb, God chose me. Hallelujah. To become like his son? Oh, I thank God. I praise God that God chose me. it may be where I scratch my head and say, God, you chose me. You chose me. See that? That's because I belong to the 70s club, right? The right arm. But God chose us, and He knew. He says, I'm not Wilbur Tinsley to be like my son. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. And He said He should be like my son. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We must be transformed. A continuation of transformation. It says, we become new creatures. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, is death. And the gift of God, what we live now, this transformation, is going to lead us to eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we see that as we turn in the Bible and we see in Ephesus, Ephesians, rather, in the entire fourth chapter, and I just want to read about four verses, the transformation process. But ye have not so learned Christ. Many profess to be Christians. Many set up in synagogues and churches and buildings, but they are not learning Christ. It says, but we have, you have not learned Christ, and if so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. But many are not allowing their hearts to receive the true word of God and become transformed, become changed, be called a Christ or a Christian, be Christ-like. Because our hearts are still covered by that veil. It goes on to say that we gotta change our clothes. We gotta change our spiritual clothes. If you walk around in oily and stinking and dirty clothes, it's time to change them. If we constantly wear the same thing all the time, somebody might come up to you and say, you know, it's time you change those clothes. The Bible says we gotta go undress, we gotta put off concerning the former conversation, the former behavior, the former conduct in which we had before we became transformed. That old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, we got to be renewed in our mind. Renewed in our mind. We got to be changed. We got to be transferred in the spirit of your mind. And that we put on that new suit. Put on that spiritual new suit. Put on that new man, which is after God and is created in righteousness and holiness. Colossians lets us know in the third chapter. It tells us what and how to dress spiritually, what to mortify, what to put off, what to put on. See, the transformation process, it doesn't just include a verse. It doesn't just include a chapter. But the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instructions in righteousness. I want to bring forth a comparison. We're still talking about transformation. Speaking of the spinning wheel and clay, many times I've heard people say, I've heard Christians say, it seems like things are just spinning out of control. I said, well, you should be spinning if you're on the spinning wheel. But not out of control. We're on the spinning wheel, but we're not spinning out of control. It says, I don't know how many of you may have had experience in working with on the spinning wheel on clay. Because you take a block or ball of clay and you put it on the wheel. And you take that clay and you use your hands. And you begin to form it in the way that you desire, not the way somebody else may want, but what you desire. Your hands are your main tools. And we see that while you're on that spinning wheel, and that spinning continually, the hands are continually upon the clay, which begin to form and shape it. But think about this. God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. You know why? Because why? Spinning wheel. speak. I want to tell you something. The potter's house located in southern Jerusalem in that day and time, the clay fields, where the clay fields were. And that's where the potters had exercised their craft. So Jeremiah went down to watch this potter as he began his craft. And Jeremiah noticed something as he was performing his craft. All of a sudden he noticed that the clay was marred.
All right.
One thing Jeremiah noticed, he didn't throw it away, he didn't discard it.
Come on.
He just crunched it or smashed it back up and began to make it over again.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad God gives us a makeover? Hallelujah. For our mistakes, for our sins, God forgives us. Hallelujah. God doesn't forsake us. God doesn't discard us. He restores us. David says, He restores my soul. Hallelujah. He restores my soul. Isaiah 45:9-5 lets us know that God is in control, and with his omnipotence, with his power and his grace, God will not discard us. He restores us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 64 reads in the 8th verse, but now, O Lord, thou art my Father. We are the clay, and thou another comparison. It says, it speaks about transformation in the form of a silversmith. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think of our strength concerning the fiery test, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much that we are partakers of Christ. That's right. Of his suffering. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Our loins girded about with truth. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. The shield of faith. The sword, which is the power of God. The word of God. But it says, but rejoicing as much that ye are partakers of Christ's suffering.
Yes.
Then when his glory shall be revealed,
yes,
ye may be glad also, all with exceeding joy. But when we speak about the silversmith is a refiner of silver. He holds a piece of silver. He holds it over a flame of fire, over heat, intense heat. Think about our tests and our trials. Sometimes we feel like we can't make it, but you know what we need to do sometimes? God, you know, tests are going to come. When I was in high school, they never stopped giving you tests because you failed. But one thing that has to change, they're not going to change the test. I have to change my preparation. I have to study more. I have to read more. Which means I got to pray more. I got to fast more. I got to get into God's word more. So when those tests and trials come, I can endure. Change myself. God, change me. Hallelujah. Change me. But it says the silversmith, in refining the silver, he needs to hold it over the fire. And he has to stay there. And he has to endure the heat too. And he holds the silver in the middle of the fire because that's where the hottest point is. And as it burns away the impurities, the silversmith has to sit there in front of the fire the whole time. The silver is being refined. He has to sit there holding the silver. And he has to keep his eyes on it. didn't stop. How does he know this? Well, let me talk about the spiritual silversmith. We are held in God's hands. Hallelujah. God never leaves us alone. He stays there too, like the silversmith. The Bible says God's eyes are always on the righteous. His ears are open unto the righteous, so he's always there. He's always watching. He feels the heat. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. For he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. He feels the heat. Just like Peter, he was in the middle of the storm. When we go through the storm, God is there in the middle of the storm. Like Peter, when he began to sink, God grabbed his hand. Help us now. Hallelujah. In the middle of the storm, holding our hands just as he did Peter's hand, God keeps his eye upon us. For he always watches over us. For he will not let us be destroyed. You know why? Because it is God's will that no man perish. It is God's will that we do not perish. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But how does God know when to stop one time and begin another time? Just like the silversmith and God, they know when to stop. Because in Malachi, the third chapter, the third verse, it says, he is a refiner and purifier of silver. But you know when the silversmith stops? Do you know when God stops? When God sees his image. Hallelujah. When the silversmith sees his image in that silver, he knows it's time to stop and start again on another work. And when God takes us through the fire, or when God purifies us, when God sees that the mission is being accomplished, and he sees his image, he knows when to stop, and he knows when to begin again, when we enter in the fire again, when he takes us out again, when he sees his image.
Sees his image.
Yes.
How many of us want God to see his image in us?